Yeah, as many of you know, I haven't come up here to preach before. And though I may feel ill-equipped, I trust that God's word remains the same, regardless of who stands up front. But let's pray before we begin here. God, thank you for who you are. You are so good, mighty, and powerful. With you, all things are possible. Lord, I lift up this time now before you and ask that you will lead and guide me to deliver today's message, and I ask that I may only speak accurately and biblically, and that your name is lifted up and glorified. You alone are worthy of all praise and honor. Lord, if I do speak falsely, I ask that you quickly let us forget what was said. And God, I just ask that you use this time now to grow us closer to you. Amen. I will be reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. If you want to grab your Bibles and read along with me, I will read today's text in its entirety before we begin. And again, that's Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locust and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." There's a lot to take away from these passages. However, I would like to focus on the theme of preparing the way of the Lord. With that being the main theme, I'll try to break it down into a few key points. The first point, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news of the fulfillment of God's promises. Good news is connected with the saving intervention of God to help his people. In the Old Testament, we can find Isaiah 40 verse 9 and 52 7. As the passage reads, "Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God." And 52 verse 7 says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." Isaiah prompts the people to welcome the approach of every gospel messenger. But how can one welcome the approach of a gospel messenger without the messenger? It may be easier to think of ourselves as one who would be better to be reminded of the gospel message instead of the one who is to proclaim it, even with a bold voice from the mountaintop without fear, as it says in Isaiah. To simply put the definition of the word gospel, it is identified as the announcement that Jesus has brought the reign of God to our world through his life, death, and resurrection from the dead. The word gospel comes from the Old English, godspell, meaning good news or good telling. How is the gospel laid out? Here's 5 points that I borrowed from our Two Ways to Live study that we did a few months ago, and it's listed like this. Point one, God is the creator and the good ruler of the world. He made us to rule his good world, giving thanks and honor to him. Point two, our rebellion against God. We all reject God as a ruler by living our own lives our own way. By rebelling against God's ways, we damage ourselves, each other, and the world. Point three. God won't let us rebel against him. Sorry, point three is God's justice. God won't let us rebel against him forever. God's punishment for our rebellion is death and judgment. Point four. God sent Jesus to die for us. Because of God's love, he sent his Son into the world. Jesus lived the perfect life under God's rule, yet took our deserving punishment by dying on the cross. And point five, Jesus, the risen ruler and savior. God raised Jesus to life again as the ruler and judge of the world. Jesus has conquered death and now brings forgiveness and new life and will return in glory. So if we consider the 5 points that we learned from this Two Ways to Live study, we recognize that we can break the gospel message down to see that God is the creator and the ruler of the world, but sin had entered and now we fall short of his glory. With our rebellion, we damage ourselves and our relationship with God. God is righteous and just, and he needs to punish sin with the penalty of death. But because of his love for us, he sent his Son Jesus into this world to live a perfect life under his rule. Yet while we fully deserved the punishment, Jesus bore it all and took it to the cross where he was crucified, being brought to death. But it didn't stop there. After 3 days, Jesus rose from the dead, having conquered the death punishment, now offers new life and forgiveness to those who seek and call on his name and repent of sin. So if the first point that we're looking at in this message today is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the second point is going to be what we are to do with it, and that is proclaim and prepare the way. As John the Baptist did in verse 2 and 3, are taken from the Old Testament, Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight a highway in the desert for our God. Here we will see some examples of preparing the way for Christ's return by proclaiming the gospel message. If we look at Romans chapter 10, where Paul starts the chapter with a heartfelt prayer, where it reads, dear brothers, the longing of my heart is that the Jewish people might be saved. He goes on to say that if one is trying to earn salvation by their works alone, they are horribly mistaken. They don't understand that Christ has died to make them right with God. And if we look a little further down the chapter, starting in verse 10, we can see that it is by believing in his heart that a man becomes right with God. And with his mouth he tells others of his faith, confirming his salvation. For the scriptures tell us that no one who believes in Christ will be put to shame or ever be disappointed. Jew, Gentile are the same respect. They all have the same Lord who generously gives all his riches on those who ask for them. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how shall they ask God to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they haven't heard about him? And how can they hear about him if no one tells them about him? And how can anyone tell them unless someone sends them? When one does go out and tell of God's good news and the saving power of Jesus Christ, that is what the scriptures are saying when it reads, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace with God and bring glad tidings of good things." In other words, how welcome are those who come preaching God's good news. Now, I don't want to stand up here saying that I have preached often or shared my faith with a passing public on a street corner often, but God does give us opportunities each and every day to go out and share the gospel with those that we surround ourselves with. I think often we hesitate due to some sort of fear, whether it is fear of man, fear of rejection, or maybe just fear of sounding like you don't know what you're talking about. But fear can be overcome by love. In a Ray Comfort interview I listened to a while back, he used this illustration that stuck with me. He said that imagine you and a friend are standing beside a fairly deep pond. It's cold outside, the wind is blowing, there's large ice chunks floating in the water, and your friend says to you that you should jump in. There might be multiple obvious reasons why you decide not to, like it's cold, or maybe you have a fear of the water, or you're not a confident swimmer, or you're like me, you have a fear of the cold. So the answer to your friend is an obvious no, but a short while later, a young child on a bike comes barreling down the path, unable to stop, and he lands in the frigid waters, beginning to drown. Suddenly, all the fears have escaped, and you find yourself in the water, helping the child come back safely to the water's edge to save his life. That's the power of love overcoming fear. And if we can translate that love to the people that God places in our lives each day to share the gospel with, to prepare their way, how beautiful wouldn't that be? Instead of shying away and letting those opportunities pass due to our fear. If we truly love and care for the well-being for those that we surround ourselves with in this day-to-day life, whether it be our family, our friends, our coworkers, or the friendly clerk behind the counter at the store that we regularly visit, or even just a random person that we bump into at the gas station, how much more loving would it not be to share the gospel with these people in hopes that would bring salvation to them versus just being friendly and making the usual small talk the same ways that we have in the past. So a little later in Mark, in chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, it reads, "And then he told them, 'Go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.'" Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples when he's saying this, when he's saying to go out and to tell everyone about the good news, but we can take that as a message to us as well. So as we go about our days, let's focus on the opportunities that we have to share our faith and God's word. Verse 4 in our text today reads of John appeared baptizing in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. A few things that we can take from that, I think, would be that repentance precedes baptism. Baptism was not and is not the means by which sins are forgiven, but it is a sign indicating that one has truly repented, turned from willfully sinning, and has a desire to follow Jesus. John labored in the wilderness as a purification and fulfillment of the prophecy Isaiah 40, verse 3. It did not need to take place in a big fancy building or in a town center courtyard, but out in the wilderness by the River Jordan is where God wanted John to serve and to minister. to all who came from the surrounding area. The country of Judea and all of Jerusalem came confessing their sins and to be baptized by John in the Jordan River. Now, I'm sure we have all heard of John the Baptist and his wardrobe choices. He had camel's hair to clothe himself. He wore a leather belt around his waist, and his diet consisted of locust and wild honey. Now, some pastors would be bold enough to preach a sermon in a skit costume of some sorts to captivate the audience when talking about people like John the Baptist in the sermon. But I luckily fit the bill resembling John in my own way, not because of my leather belt or because of my choice of breakfast this morning, but we have the same name, John. But how I would like to resemble John and to compare with him is his willingness to lay his life down and to be obedient to God's word and his calling, to go out and to share his message. I feel like if John gave into his flesh's desires, it could have been easy for him to reside closer to a town or some civilized place where he could get some proper clothes and eat normal food like grasshoppers and heavy cream. But that didn't matter to him. He preached with humility and faithfulness, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And it is with that humility that John demonstrates that we should have the boldness to proclaim our faith and to share the gospel message, despite our fears. Moving along down the passage, we read of Jesus' baptism. Jesus didn't have to be baptized or repent of sins. He lived a perfect life, but he identified with the sins of his people, even though he himself was free of sin. Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee to John to be baptized. And when he was baptized, he came up out of the water, and immediately he saw the heavens tore open and a spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased." The spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness, where he was for 40 days being tempted by Satan. In Matthew chapter 4 and Luke 4, we can read about the three temptations that Jesus faced. But it wasn't limited to only those three instances. He was surrounded by evil and the danger of wild animals. Jesus was nevertheless not abandoned, for he had the presence of the Holy Spirit with him, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, some time had passed and John had been arrested, and Jesus begins his ministry. He came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The message continues there as it continues today. The call to repent from our sins and to turn away from ungodly living, and to turn to Christ to prepare to replace the sin with godly living through faith and strength that we can only get from our Heavenly Father, and to share that message with everyone. Now, it is my hope and prayer that as we go on our walk with God in this life, we would be striving to live in a manner worthy of our calling, and that we can bring glory and honor to his name through our actions and conversations that we have, not to be ashamed or afraid, not to be ashamed or afraid to proclaim his word, and to be a constant light on the hilltop for everyone to see God's goodness and love pour out from us, and that we can prepare the way for those who need to hear God's good news that Jesus is coming back and wants us to live with him. Let's pray. Father, as we conclude this portion of the service, We thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your saving power that we receive by the bloodshed of our Lord Jesus. We thank you for continuing to work in and through us, molding us more into who you have called us to be. Lord, we know that we are called to go out and to share the gospel. Grant us with opportunities this week to do that. Grant us with the words to speak as we prepare for those that we meet, and to glorify your name. Amen.